And this morning in our parenting class, we were talking about character, which is very important, right? Well, Pastor Gary said we want to teach our children first thing character. Not what they want, but what God expects of them. Amen? And Jesus has been preaching on character. So today we're going to look at the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom. And I like what Sandy was saying when she was saying about the kingdom. It's not just yourself, the kingdom here, but the kingdom of God. Do we sometimes think about, are we portraying the ways of the kingdom of God? Or just here on earth? Because heaven and earth is going to surely pass away. Right? And we're going to face our God. And so, for our eternal truth, we want to look at the followers before going that building kingdoms, building God's kingdom here is a result of building God's character here in his people. And that's how been our main team, main conversation. And that has been Jesus' focus on the Sermon on the Mount. And as followers, Christ expects us to make choices through the way of life and practices of the kingdom by obeying the teaching of Christ. We are to know God's way. Not my way, not our own way, but know God's way and develop an attitude of trust. Not in our bank account, not in our wives, not in our children, not in our husband, not in our family, but on God. We build our trust in God and an attitude of trust and reliance on God because God is trustworthy. Have you heard on the news sometimes that certain people lost their portfolio and all their saving is gone? Oh, you didn't hear that before? Yeah. People lost their money, their account, their savings. Someone just misused it and everything is gone. And that's somebody who struggled to save their life, earn money to retire, and all of a sudden all is gone. We can put trust in that because it's going to leave. It's going to go. But what God wants us to understand, Christ wants us to understand, is to put our trust in God because he is trustworthy. And not that, but to seek the godliness of character that Jesus taught. And which is indeed the ways of the kingdom. Amen? Now, Christ's Sermon on the Mount has been focused on believers' righteousness. He said, for us as believers, why he expects his followers, the righteousness should exceed that of what? The religious leaders. Their righteousness should go beyond the religious leader if we are to seek the kingdom of God. And he teaches that God's law, which he expects us, or he expects of us as his followers, we are to uphold God's love. Remember, Jesus said he did not come to change the law, he did not come to do away with the law, but he came that the law will be fulfilled through him. And the law was not being upheld as it should have been. So Jesus now, coming down on the Sermon of the Mount, the sermon that he's prepared, he's teaching, he's narrowing down to the end of his sermon. And Pastor Gary is going to end next Sunday with the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. So what he did, he issued some important commands and warnings which should be considered as the way of the kingdom. And quickly, we're going to dive into that. And some of the things he talks about, he issued a command, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And he issued a warning, choose the right path. Graduates, those of you who graduate from high school, graduating from college, There are so many paths out there. But he instructed us to choose the path of faithfulness or the path of fruitlessness. And he also wanted us to listen to the right voices, not the wrong voices, because there are so many voices out there. And sometimes you get confused. And he instructed, he said, beware of false teachers. There are so many doctrines, so many things out there, that deception, that danger, that disclosure, that doctrine. We as children of God should be aware of these things. And he said, trust the right measure, the measure of religious activity or the measure that leads to life. And we're going to look at application. So quickly, let us look at our first issue. The command, Jesus gave a command. He said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep knocking. You know, we got kids, right? And some kids will not stop when they need something from you. I got one. They're going to keep asking, Daddy, when are you going to get this done? And I say, when I'm ready. When are you going to get ready? As soon as I'm ready. How soon? They're going to keep coming, asking, 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 because they want it to be done, right? And I don't want to get, and she's going to tell me, Daddy, what time? I don't want to give her time. So I say, when I'm ready, when I'm ready, everything's going to be done. Amen? But that's the idea Jesus is kind of saying. We need to keep asking. We need to keep seeking. We need to keep knocking. And I'll look at our passage from the book of Matthew chapter 7, beginning from verse 7. He said, ask. He said, ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will what? Find. Knock and it will be open unto you. For everyone who asks does what? Receives. Jesus said, sometimes we don't ask, so we don't get. He said, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, each of these statements here, Jesus, he's kind of pointing to the same point, right? Here's the thing, where God's people, you can hear me? Okay. When God's people pursue something by asking, by seeking, by knocking, guess what? God responds to them faithfully. He responds to them generously. Now, what does it emphasize? It kind of emphasizes the need for an authentic relationship with God. Because you know God, when you ask of him, he provides for you. It builds your relationship. I was speaking about my daughter earlier, right? Because of the relationship she has with me as her father, she can come and ask me for anything she needs. And because of that relationship, she doesn't have to think about, what am I going to do? Should I have daddy or not? She comes. And that's the relationship when we have with our father. We can ask. He said, ask. You don't have to go through any channel. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to fill in a form. You don't have to be on a waiting list. He said, just ask. Forget about the problems. Just ask him. Amen? And he says, keep on seeking. He said, Jesus is not only saying that we will receive, we will find, and the door will be open to us. He goes further by saying this. And he gave an earlier illustration we're going to look at. And he said, we want to understand more further what he is saying in verse 9, right? He said, look in verse 9. He said, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, he gave him a stone? He said, or if he asks for a fish, he gave him a serpent. No earthly parents would give the contrary things to their children when they ask for, right? So Jesus said, if we cannot do that, if my daughter came to me, your son, came to you and said, Daddy, I need a car. And you say, you know what? I'm going to give you a stipend. You're not going to do that. If he comes and say, I need this, and you're getting something that's going to harm me. Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts. Then what more about the Heavenly Father? Don't he able to give you more than what you can give to your children? We as parents, grandparents, and responsible humans, we know how to care for those that we love, right? Especially when they depend on us. We want to help them, not harm them. We take joy in helping them and providing for them. Now, watch this. As we joy, that attitude of taking care of the one that we love, and playing that role in providing for those we love, guess what? God loves that role so much that he can do better in it than you and myself. He can do better in giving when we ask. He can do better in giving when we seek. He can get better in doing anything when we knock. And that's why he wants us to understand as his children. Jesus says, if you then who are evil, in verse 11, he said, if you then who are evil know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Listen, church. Jesus is perfect. He's holy. He's generous. He's loving. He's righteous, and he's the most perfect person. And God will surely give us these gifts if we ask, if we seek, and if we knock. But here's the question. What kind of gifts do we expect, or what Jesus is talking about? Now, those graduates and getting out there are so many gifts out there. There are so many things out there. But let's go back to the beginning of our teaching. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for what? The kingdom of heaven is theirs. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will what? Be filled. He said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5, 48. And in Matthew 6, 9 to 20, he said, Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. He didn't stop there in verse 24, verse chapter 6. He said, no one can serve two masters at the same time, right? He either hate one or love one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But then he breaks it down and he said, but why? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added or provided for you. Now, here's the point. If we think Jesus is speaking about monetary riches or earthly gifts, we are sadly mistaken, church. We are. Because here's the thing. That which is truly valuable is not measured by the standard of this world. It's measured by the standard of God. What we consider valuable, no, we want to measure it by the standard of God. His standard of value is high beyond what we think. And that's why he says, first of all, seek God, his kingdom, his righteousness, and whatever else will be added, given unto you. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't say don't pursue your dream and go to college, learn something, and become someone out there in society. No, that's not a fact. But what he wants you to do is put him first. Seek God first. Seek his kingdom. Because that's the way of the kingdom. When you seek him, when you ask him, you ask, you're not. Every other thing is going to be added unto you.
That's why God wants us. You see, God wants to give us the good stuff. There are so many stuff out there, young people. So many stuff out there say, oh, this is the good stuff. That is the good stuff. But there is no good stuff than that which God can provide for you. Now, here's the thing. You got to keep on asking. You got to keep on seeking. And you got to keep on knocking. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth ride. But there's going to be distractions. And this is where you have to know which path you are on. This is where your path that you're going to follow, where it's going to take you. So quickly, we're going to look at the right path to choose. Is it the path of faithfulness or the path of fruitlessness? In verse 13 to 14, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. And I just want to pause there and go down to verse 14. He says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. It's difficult on this narrow way, right? There are heartaches, there are pain, there are disappointments, frustrations, anger, and all these things on this path. It's narrow and everything. Sometimes you think the world is crumbling down on you and you can't understand what is going on. And sometimes you feel that you alone is on that path. And you can't understand, how can I get hold of my future? How can I get hold of my career? How can I do things that will become positive for my life? And mind you, that's the challenge. And not only for our young people, for our schools, students, but even for us as elders or grown-ups. Sometimes we get on the wrong path. We want the narrow path. It's so difficult, and we give in. But Jesus is saying that on this path, you don't get to see too many people walking and say, hey, come on, I'm going to help you. No. It's you alone on that path. And sometimes there's no one there to give you directions. There's no one there to hold you up and say, come on, let's go. You can do it. Sometimes you are alone in your own world. And you're confused. The direction that you can best have is the word of God. This is the word of God. It leads us in the right path. As you go to college, as you graduate from college in your next career, whatever you do, don't put this word behind you. It's going to lead you in every path of your life. You see, because God is leading the way, he promised you that he would never leave you. And he will never forsake you. And that's why David will say in the book of Psalm 23, he said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Because why? God, you are with me. Sometimes you think you are alone on that road. God is with you on that road. Sometimes you think it's too burdensome. God is there to lift you up on that burden road. Sometimes you think nowhere out. God is there and he's willing to take you through. But all you need to do is to choose the right path. Amen? And the right path is narrow. But guess what? It leads to life. The life eternal in the next life. And the way to eternal life is narrow. And there is only one direction. And that one direction, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the truth and the what? The life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So whatever you do, remember the only way out is through Christ Jesus. Whatever you want to pursue in your career, in your next chapter of your life, the only way through is Christ Jesus, because he is the way, and that's the way of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
It's difficult. It's not going to be easy. You know, I remember my first time going hiking. Pastor Gary and Steve and I, we went to the Poconos. We went hiking. That was my first time. And you, those who have been at hiking, it's not a smooth path, right? You got to climb hills. You got to climb rocks. You going, coming down. If you're not careful, you're going to sprain your ankle, going through bushes, all those things. That's the struggle that you're going to go through in life when you want to climb the mountain to the top. But bear in mind, even though they may seem rocky, they may seem struggling there, but God has never forsaken you. He has never let you down. He's going to be with you even as you go through the path.
Amen.
And on that path, we want to look at the path of fruitlessness. You don't want to take this path. And Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. He said, for why is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Come on, we can do it, man. You don't have to waste your time over there. You can get fast money. I know what to do. Come on. There are many who are traveling on this. Have you traveled on a road before and you just go and say, I missed my way out, and you can't find your way? Say, well, I should be over there by 12:30, but it's now 1 o'clock. I'm nowhere. And you just keep going. And you don't know where you're going to end. And that's the point. Your life becomes fruitless. You're struggling. You're earning good money. You're doing everything. But it's meaningless to you. There is no happiness. There is no peace. There is no joy. The burdens are more than you can even handle. Because you are on a road that is leading you to destruction. The road that Christ is not on is an endless road, and the road that leads to destruction. But the road that Christ is on is a road that leads you to success and greatness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the road we need to, that's the path. When you want to be fruitful, that's the path you need to travel. He said, because there are lots of folks on that road, and they keep going and don't know what they are doing. It's difficult. In context, what Jesus is saying is that the path is a worthy life, a worthy living. It's populated with those who ignore God's standard. It's populated with those who ignore God's standard of living. And instead, they follow each other and do the wrong thing. The wrong path leads to destruction, church. And even as Christ admonished us to choose the narrow path, he also admonished us to listen to the right, not to the wrong voices. And we're going to quickly look at that. We're going to look at a deception. Young people, there are so many things outside there that are going to disguise themselves as the good person. And Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, mind you, in ancient days, the shepherd, those who lead the flocks, they had to dress in wolf clothing or something that would keep them warm to distinguish them among the sheep, to be able to protect the sheep. And Jesus is saying that those who come, they come in sheep's clothing, but they are not sheep. They are not of your same faith. They don't believe in the God you believe. They don't believe in the God you serve. They don't have the same foundation that you have in your life. They will manipulate you. They will tell you things. Use the word of God to take you away. But Jesus says, beware of them. But they only come to destroy your life. They come to destroy your future. They come to destroy your hope. Beware.
Jesus focused on the four things: the deception, the danger, and the discord. Dangerous and deceptive individual, their ideas and activities is not in line with that of God. It's in line of the world standard, in what they can tell you to please you, to make you feel that this is the right thing. But they are deceiving you. And how can you overcome those things? We're going to look at that later. But let us go to the next point. The deception, sometimes as you young people, they tell you, oh, to attend church on a regular basis, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. They tell you, oh, you don't have to honor God with your offering. The church got money. You don't have to pay tithe. You don't have to pay offering. That's deception. They're going to lead you into a sin that you are tangled into that you cannot get out. Oh, it's fine to live in lust. It's fine to live in this lifestyle, but which is not of God's standard. Oh, guess what? They're going to stop you for activities on Sunday. They'll take you away from worship. They're going to make you busy with work, with school, with kids, and you don't even have time to spend with God. They keep you busy, engaged in all the activities. Oh, you don't need a church. You don't need a pastor. You can serve God by yourself. But these are all the deception of the enemy. And it keeps you away from the relationship with God. And the next thing we want to look at, they are there to destroy you. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. He said, but in water they are ravens, wolves. They are wolves. And their desire is to destroy you. Not to give you hope. Not to lead you in the right path. It comes with everything they can offer. What the world, the goodness, the riches, the money, the desire, the fame, everything you can think about, they're going to bring it to you. But at the end, they're going to destroy you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, for even Satan himself transformed himself as into angel of light. Satan ain't going to come like a boogeyman or something on torn horn on his head. And no. In verse 7, he said, therefore, it is no great thing if his minister also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They're going to appear righteous. They're going to use the scripture but contradict it and confuse you if you are not aware the way of the kingdom, which is through the word of God. And not only that, their disclosure. Jesus is going to expose them who they are. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Even though they come in wolf's form, in sheep clothing, in wolf, he said, you will know them. He said, in the verse, he said, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. He said, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. That's the plan. They're not going to give you a hope that God has given you. They are there to destroy you. We are to be conscious regarding these mindless beliefs and teachings and doctrine that they want to pray unto you to distract you from knowing. Now, this is not a new problem, right? Because even from the serpent in the garden with our original parents, Satan came in there, transformed himself into the form of a serpent and mislead Adam and Eve into sin. You see, they're going to lead God's people to destruction by telling them what they want to hear. And that's why our generation today, we want to hear what we want to hear that will satisfy our flesh, satisfy our desire. But when you go too high, say, oh, Pastor, you're melting too much now. Calm down, Pastor. They have itchy ears to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. And there are so many out there who's not going to give you the truth. But you need to be grounded in the word
of God. And there's this quote before we go back there. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, he said that we should no longer be children tossed and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, rather by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's all they're going to do. And if we are not careful, if we are not spending time in the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, the judgment has not been idle, and the destruction has not slumbered." In 2 Timothy, Paul says, For of this sort are those who creep into the household and make captives of gullible women and laudable down with sins led away by various lusts. That's what they're going to do. And Jesus is going to expose them. So let's go to the next point. How can we do that? We need to test, try, and examine them. And look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. He said, John said, he said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything. Test them. Test spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In verse 2, he said, "By this you will know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." That's why. Now, if you are not in the Word of God, how can you examine? How can you try? How can you test? How can you try? How can you examine them? You cannot. But this is our weapon God has given us to be able to overcome the false teachings and doctrine. And not only that, there are a couple of tests, the moral tests I want us to look at quickly. If we keep his commandments, that's the moral test. We're going to know that. He said, in verse 4, he said, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And there's a social test I want you to consider. He said, "He who also says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." And look at verse 11. He said, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." If you understand that you are a light of God, you child of Christ, and you are walking in the light, you will be able to overcome all these false teaching, all those things out there when it comes in your way. Amen? Amen. And there are so many out there with different doctrinal messages. But look what Jesus said, John says in verse 18 to 23, I'm not going to read it, but he said, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come." And verse 19 said, "But they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." And skip down to verse 22, say, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" And that's the teaching. And that's the teaching. Until we can realize that, we're going to be carried astray by the false teaching. And quickly, their doctrine. Their doctrine is the bad fruits, the denial of the gospel. In verse 17 to 20, say, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." The gospel, the doctrine, does not produce what the gospel of the of Jesus Christ produces. It produces contrary things. Now, if you engage in the wrong thing, you're going to produce wrong things, right? If you engage in a secular thing, you're going to produce secular things. But if you engage in spiritual things, you're going to overcome the secular thing through the spiritual life that you are living in Christ Jesus. And that's where we ought to grow, knowing that God has not called us to this age for ourselves, but he has called us to his kingdom. And that's the way of his kingdom. Amen? And as we come, Jesus, in verse 21 to 23, summed up, he said, trust the right measure. What measure are you taking? The measure of religious activity or the measures that leads to life? The religious leaders, theirs were all about religious activity. Show off in a nice long gown and dress up so good that when you see them, like they're going to heaven the next meeting when God called them. They pretend to hold on to the law. They pretend to do everything out of the book. But inside, they were contrary to what the word of God says. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that's the religious activity. You come and raise up hands and worship God, but your heart is far from God. God is not going to honor your religious activity. He's not. If he was, he was going to honor the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leader of his days. He would have honored their religious activities. But they were contrary to that which. But what God is the measure that leads to life. Look at that. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Who way are you doing? It is your own way? It is the way of the word? But it should be the way of the Father in heaven. Because we can do all we can and fool ourselves. But God sees us. The scripture says man looks at our appearance, right? But God looks at the heart. And that's our heart. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that's the rule we talk about in verse 7. Jesus said, there are so many walking on that broad road to lawlessness, to destruction, and pretend. But he said, you're going to say, depart from me, for I knew you not, you workers of iniquity. As we come to close, you know, I took this thought, I said, I wish I had this car. But here's the point. Jesus kind of admonish us as he narrowed down on the Sermon of the Mount. This sermon, as we said, is all about building our character to the standard of God. Not our own, not the standard of the word, because the word standard is nothing. What Jesus said, the script God said, tell the church, he said, your righteousness before me is what? Like a filthy rag. So the word standard has no level to be compared to that of the standard of God. And that's why, as we go on our life journey, young people, take into consideration the role you are taking. There are so many things looking good on that road, but they are not of God. They may appear good, but test them, examine them, try them. Use the word of God to determine as to whether it is according to the standard of God. Not through your eyes. And moreover, take into consideration the endpoint of the role you are taking. Is it going to lead you to prosperity in God? Is it going to lead you to prosperity here on earth? And that's why he said we should what? Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all the things will be added unto you. And lastly, be watchful of those things that will take you off the road of faithfulness.
Rachel sang that song. There's going to be challenges out there. And not only for even our young people, for even us. There are challenges out there. There are disappointments out there, frustration out there, a lot of situations out there. But if we lose focus of who is our foundation, who is our hope, we will get distracted and get on the wrong path. Because we need to know where our journey ends. And for you and I, our journey into eternity to be with God, to serve Him, to have a glorious hallelujah time when that time comes. And that's where our journey ends. And as we close, I just want to leave us with this word. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 18 says, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you." Remember that. He goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed, because God is going to be with you in every step, in every journey that you take in your life. God bless you.
Close with a word of prayer and hopefully a great consideration of the road that we are on. And I'll throw one thing out to us. You know what? Here's the good thing. When we determine that we're on the wrong road, there's a way of repentance that we can change our direction and we can get on the right road. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to seek Him. And we are sure to find Him if we seek Him. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for Pastor Ansu, Lord, as he brings it to us. I thank you, dear God, for our graduates, Lord. There is so much promise, so much possibility of what their lives will be ahead. But Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that they would heed, Lord, your word today, that they would listen, and that they would consider, and that they would analyze, Lord, themselves, where their life is going and what road they're on. And I pray, Father God, that we as elders, as Pastor Ansu said, Lord, that we too would analyze our road and that we would make the right changes. Father, for some of us, maybe we need to take the exit really quick. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to respond to your word this morning. And Lord God, that you would go with us this week, Lord, as we go into our world, as we continue our journey, that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask all these things today with thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.